This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
I'm Stacey Cole with the Hidden Killers Podcast. Massachusetts State Police have confirmed an ongoing investigation into Trooper Michael Proctor. Now, he's a lead investigator in the murder case against Karen Reed. The revelation follows assertions made by Reed's defense team regarding significant relationships involving Proctor. Massachusetts State Police acknowledge that Trooper Michael Proctor is being investigated for a potential violation of department policy. However, specific details regarding the nature of this potential violation or its relation to a particular case were not disclosed by the department. We go now live to raw courtroom audio for a motions hearing in the Karen Reed trial, which is scheduled for April 16th. It hangs in the balance amid these revelations. And now to the courtroom.
Thank you. On behalf of Kevin Albert, present is Peter Pasciuco, and on behalf of Brian Higgins is William Connolly.
Great. Thank you. All right, so counsel, I need you to spell your name for me, please.
Yes, Your Honor. The last name is Connolly, C-O-N-N-O-L-L-Y.
And what's your first name?
William.
Thank you. All right, I will hear you on behalf of Mr. Higgins.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, as the court is aware, Brian Higgins' phone records and communications are at issue in these motions. Brian Higgins is a federal ATF agent. He is a witness in the Commonwealth's prosecution of this case, and he has cooperated fully in the Commonwealth's investigation. As this court knows, we've not had the benefit of seeing the factual support for these motions, but I want to provide some information that likely isn't contained within those materials submitted to the court, but of which I have a good faith basis to believe is information contained in the materials provided by the federal government to the parties in this case. I have represented Brian Higgins since April of 2023, the month when he received the federal grand jury subpoena. Like he has in this case, Brian has cooperated fully with the federal investigation. He has answered every question put to him in both investigations, and he will continue to do so because he has nothing to hide. Brian Higgins is not a target of the federal investigation. That has been confirmed by the United States Attorney's Office and confirmed to me that I could make that representation in court. The U.S. Attorney's Office has continuously confirmed throughout its investigation that Brian Higgins is not a target of their investigation. Brian Higgins has not participated in any kind of a cover-up or conspiracy to cover up the criminal activity of others. Brian has spent his career saving lives. He was a firefighter before becoming an ATF agent. He has been an EMT since 1992. He received a Congressional Medal for saving the life of a fellow ATF task force officer after being shot five times in Somerville, Massachusetts. He has served our military in Iraq. Participating in a cover-up is contrary to who he is as a human being and a professional. I am here to represent Brian's interest in privacy. Brian Higgins, at my urging, will not capitulate and stand down when efforts are made to further intrude upon his privacy based upon sheer speculation. It is for that reason that we oppose these motions, not because Brian Higgins has done something wrong or has anything to hide. We know this court will give us an opportunity to review the motions and supplement our remarks if we deem it necessary. We know this court will fairly weigh the arguments before it and will render a fair decision, and we will respect that decision, and we will comply with that decision. Respectfully, we do not believe there is a sufficient factual basis to support the relief requested in the motions before the court. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you very much. Counsel?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Attorney Peter Pasciuco on behalf of Kevin Albert.
All right, so you need to spell that last name for us.
It's P-A-S-C-I-U-C-C-O.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Your Honor. Just a little bit of background with respect to Mr. Albert, and we are objecting to this this Rule 17 motion. Kevin Albert's a 19 and a half year veteran of the Canton Police Department, extremely well respected, extremely well liked. Any insinuation that he participated in a conspiracy or cover up is simply untrue. There's been no showing how personal communications between my client and Mr. Higgins have any relevance here, let alone evidentiary value. Kevin Albert is not a Commonwealth witness. He did not testify in the federal grand jury, and his involvement is essentially zero. This is a clear intrusion, as Attorney Connolly indicated, into the privacy rights of these individuals, and I've advised Kevin that there is simply no reason to acquiesce to something that's just clearly a fishing expedition. So upon my advice, Kevin Albert is objecting to this Rule 17 motion, but we will honor and respect the court's decision and appreciate the time to supplement any response in writing after we see the motion and affidavit, which hasn't been provided to us yet.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, Mr. Unetti, did you want to respond or no?
No, I would just move to the next motion if the court were ready.
Okay, so we'll move on to the next motion. Mr. Lally, you didn't want to add anything, did you?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, so this motion concerns Brian Albert, Kenneth Berkowitz, Brian Higgins.
Yes, and Your Honor, with the court's permission, I'd like to start with Brian Higgins with regard to this motion.
All right, so Mr. Lally, is it safe to assume you did not provide, or you didn't comply with my order in providing the motions and supporting affidavits on this as well to the third party record holders and their lawyers?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So the counsel will receive copies of this as well and be permitted to argue now and supplement it. All right.
Thank you, Your Honor. As I previously mentioned, Brian Higgins did testify before the federal grand jury. And at that time, he was specifically asked if on January 29th of 2022, he made any phone calls when he got home. He said that he did not. He testified that he lived alone. He testified that he was alone that night. He testified there was nobody else in his bedroom. He testified that when he went to bed, he placed his phone on the bedside table. After making those admissions, he was confronted by a federal prosecutor with his phone records. Those records revealed that Brian Albert called Brian Higgins at 2:22 in the morning on January 29. Those records reveal, moreover, that 17 seconds later, Brian Higgins called Brian Albert back, and that call lasted for 22 seconds. Now, when he was first confronted, Brian Higgins first tried to claim that it had to have been a butt dial. That term butt dial is used by many of the Commonwealth's witnesses to explain the many calls between them and among them, and I've never seen a case where there have been so many butt dials, to be frank. But Mr. Higgins was already locked in. He already testified his phone was on the bedside table. His butt was in the bed, the phone was in the table. The two could not have met, Your Honor. There was no possibility of a butt dial. And then Higgins admitted that. And that wasn't Mr. Higgins leaving Brian Albert a voicemail. He also admitted under oath that the toll records would have reflected a voicemail if they went to voicemail. He admitted that to call Brian Albert back, he would have had to first reach for his phone, then unlock it with the passcode or face ID, then he would have to press on Brian Albert's number. And that is exactly what he did. And he testified that that was what he did. He also testified that nobody from the Commonwealth, not Trooper Proctor, not ADA Lally, no one has ever asked him about that phone call from Brian Albert's to Higgins, or the return phone call from Higgins to Albert lasting 22 seconds. Rather than get everyone's phone records, as this court knows, the Commonwealth has fought the defense at every turn in our quest to get the phone records. They've persuaded this court that we were previously on a fishing expedition. To the extent the court once thought otherwise, it is clear this is no longer a fishing expedition. We do not have to go fishing to wonder anymore whether calls were made. We now know that someone who had been in that house when John O'Keefe arrived called the homeowner at 2:22 in the morning, 3.5 hours before John O'Keefe's body was found on the homeowner's lawn. We learned that neither party to that call ever revealed to police, investigators, or prosecutors that they connected by phone in those early morning hours, just like Jennifer McCabe never revealed that at around the same time she was Googling, asking how long it took for someone to die in the cold, a search that the FBI confirms happened at 2:27 in the morning, again, about 3.5 hours before John O'Keefe's body was found. Now, for his part, Brian Albert also first tried to claim that his phone call to Brian Higgins at 2:22 in the morning was a butt dial. He said that he was awake and watching TV, but he was called back to the grand jury to testify a second time. The second time, Brian Albert changed his testimony to say that at 2:22 in the morning, he and his wife were in bed in an intimate situation. He claimed that he had his phone with him in the bed. So now he's claiming that it was during that intimate situation with his wife that he supposedly butt-dialed Brian Higgins. He had no explanation, however, for how his phone picked up when Higgins called him back 17 seconds later. He had no explanation for the 22-second phone conversation that followed, and it's worth noting that Higgins testified he never heard any intimate noises on the other end of the line either. Brian Albert tried to maintain that he butt-dialed Higgins, but again, that would mean that his butt also answered the phone when Higgins called back, and it doesn't make any sense. Both men denied talking to each other despite being confronted with that mountain of evidence by federal prosecutors. But it wasn't just the January 29th, 2022 calls between Higgins and Albert. Brian Higgins' phone records, we learned, reveal that Canton Police Chief Kenneth Berkowitz was involved in interacting with both men shortly after John O'Keefe's body was found. And again, recall, they're supposedly conflicted out of this case.
So I'm going to, there's just a question I have, and I'll let you continue, Mr. Iannetti, but regarding the dates. So the dates of the records you're seeking
January
for Brian Albert, so January 29th to February 4th.
Fourth.
That's what you're
that's
seeking.
That's fine.
And for Kenneth Berkowitz, January 29th to February 18th, and Brian. All right, it's not entirely clear from the affidavit. Okay. All right, so go ahead. Thank you for answering that, and I'll hear you. Go ahead, continue.
Right. So as soon as John O'Keefe showed up deceased on Brian Albert's lawn, Canton Police decided it might not be a good idea for them to be involved in investigating this case. And by the way, I'm reminded when I sat down that District Attorney Morrissey announced that publicly. So we knew that early on.
Okay, so is that in his statement that I've had copies of?
It is not in the video statement that we moved to sanction him for. It was a previous statement that he issued.
All right, so get that to me, okay?
That's fine, Your Honor. So the question is, why was Chief Berkowitz inserting himself into this case almost immediately? United States Attorney Joshua Levy questioned Higgins about that in the federal grand jury. He summarized the phone records in their possession, records the feds have that we do not, records we're asking this court to order so that both parties in this case can review them. Mr. Levy directed a question to Mr. Higgins in the grand jury where he asked about all of the back and forth between him and Brian Albert and Chief Berkowitz. Quote, you have a 3-minute call from or with Berkowitz at 7:22 in the morning. This is on January 29th. Another call with him then you have a call with Brian Albert that afternoon for 12 minutes. Another call with him for 6 minutes. Another call for a minute, then another call with Albert for 10 minutes, then a call with Berkowitz for 4 minutes. Higgins spoke with Berkowitz on January 29th, someone who was conflicted out of the investigation 4 times. And then they spoke many additional times between January 29th and February 4th.
But Higgins had nothing to do with the investigation, correct?
He was a witness in the investigation.
Okay, at that point,
we have a chief of police who's supposedly...
So at that point, you say he was a witness.
I'm sorry?
At that point, the point of the phone calls, he was a witness?
Yes, he was in the home, Your Honor.
Okay.
He was not spoken to by investigators yet, but clearly he's a witness. He was at the home that night. Now, recall that Chief Berkowitz supposedly found a piece of taillight on Brian Albert's lawn on February 4th. After that lawn had been searched by trained investigators and other police officers multiple times without finding it, but somehow Chief Berkowitz was able to spot that piece of taillight while he was driving past the property from his moving vehicle. And the phone records show that Berkowitz called Higgins that very day to tell him about the discovery, and then Higgins calls Brian Albert to tell him. In a case where we are alleging as part of our defense that there is a third-party culprit, and at least some people are involved in a conspiracy to cover up the guilt of that third-party culprit or culprits, contact between co-conspirators could not be more relevant. Before the feds got involved, we fought for this information, but we were largely unsuccessful. Although we never had to prove that the phone records actually contained evidence of the conspiracy, that's something we couldn't do without having the records themselves. This court has previously ruled that it was all too speculative. Not anymore. Not now. Not after we know that the records exist. Not after we know they prove what we suspected that they would prove. We now know that those records will tell a story that could not be more relevant to this case and to our defense. And the problem, Your Honor, is we know the records are there. We have them in summary fashion, but we don't have them in admissible form. The feds have revealed that they exist, but they haven't released the actual records to us. They have them, we don't have them. That's why we're filing this Rule 17 motion. And again, we've more than met the requirements of Lampron. These records are relevant to our defense because they show suspicious contact between parties we allege to be in a conspiracy. They're relevant because they show the Canton police chief inserting himself into a case when it was previously determined that he was conflicted out. They are relevant because they impeach the credibility of Commonwealth witnesses who denied talking to each other, yet have no explanation for these records, which again, do not lie. We cannot get the records any other way. We cannot effectively prepare for trial without these records. The Commonwealth could have gotten them, but they chose not to. They fought our efforts to get them. But again, thank God, another law enforcement agency stepped in and did what the DA should have done. Going to trial without these records would violate my client's due process rights. And finally, to the extent that this court previously ruled that our requests were a fishing expedition, we can't maintain that now with a straight face. We now have the receipts. It's confirmed we were never on a fishing expedition. We were merely on an expedition to obtain relevant material and exculpatory evidence, and we're simply on a mission to defend our client. And I would ask the court to allow this motion.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Lally.
So, Your Honor, the Commonwealth does not object to this motion. The only question or clarification that I'd ask for is there seems to be a discrepancy in the dates that I'm not really finding any support for within the context of the motion. So that's
why I asked. So
my question was a different one as to the dates, though.
Okay.
So when it directed towards individual people, it's a time period beginning on January 29th. When it's directed towards the cell phone carriers or providers, it begins with a period on January 28th, which is the day prior to anything occurring. So I'm not sure why anything on the 28th has any relevancy. There's nothing in the motion that I can glean that indicates that. I don't know if it's a Scrivener's error or if there's some other reason for that period for those providers to be starting a day early.
What do you say about that, Mr. Iannetti? Your affidavit says the 29th.
Right. I would orally amend that to the 29th, Your Honor. We're fine with that.
All right. I'm going to hear from the third party counsel if they want to be heard.
Your Honor, if I may, just one further thing. I did speak with counsel. It's attorney Kenneth Anderson, who represents Mr. Berkowitz. There's no objection on behalf of his client.
Okay, thank you. All right, so Mr. Conley?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, well, with respect to our general arguments, we'll just rest on what I said previously.
and we respect the party's positions. I just want to point out one thing with respect to the factual assertion. I don't have the privilege of seeing the grand jury testimony, but I can represent to the court that before my client ever testified at the grand jury, he voluntarily appeared for an interview with the U.S. Attorney's Office. I attended that interview, and at that interview, he volunteered to the U.S. Attorney's Office that that morning he spoke to both Albert and Berkowitz. He was not asked and did not give a rundown of how many times, but he acknowledged long before he testified at the grand jury that he did speak with both of them that day. I don't think that impacts the substance of the arguments, but I just wanted to note that for her.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, the Commonwealth hasn't objected to these records for that period of time that appears to be relevant time period.
Yeah, and so I will waive argument on that, Your Honor.
All right, and does counsel object to these records, Mr. Henning, on behalf of Brian Albert? All right, and counsel on behalf of, that doesn't concern you, okay. All right, thank you. Defendant filed, Mr. Unetti, you filed a motion that I just got as I was walking out here.
Right, we're not asking to be heard on that motion. I had alerted your clerk that it would be coming. It's filed with a motion to impound as well. I figured I would hand deliver it today.
Okay, great.
The Commonwealth just got it today, so they'll need time to assess that.
All right, so today all pretrial non-evidentiary motions have to be filed pursuant to the order.
Yes.
All right, so this is it.
I expect by the end of the business today, the court will be receiving a motion to dismiss to be heard next week as well.
All right, and you can't be here next week.
I cannot, and on that point, Your Honor, I think the court probably was alerted that we filed a second motion to admit counsel from California, Pro Hoc Vice. I don't know that it's necessary, but
I'm glad you filed it because I think it is. If you're not here and you have to be here
for that, that's why we did that. So,
Ms. Unetti, I'll allow that motion now that you have filed your appearance.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. So you expect that there will be more motions coming today?
I expect there'll be one additional motion coming today.
All right. Does the Commonwealth have anything that it expects to be filing by the end of today?
Your Honor, just filed a motion for reciprocal discovery. I'm not asking for any action on it, but I believe that would be it.
Okay. And I have one question. Are we all done with Bodie Labs? Have you received the information from them?
So on one part of the testing, yes.
Okay.
On the second piece of the testing, no.
All right. So I need a report on that orally on Tuesday.
Sure.
Where we are with that. All right, great. I'll see everyone Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor.
March 26, 9 a.m., hearing on all pretrial non-evidentiary motions.
All right.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.